Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island, Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Stidham retreats in the pocket again under pressure. He's hit at the blind side and driven down to the turn. Jared Stidham is sacked from behind. Kevin Gibbons, former practice squatter for the Niners, brings down Jared Stidham. The Patriots will not take a timeout and will not score a touchdown. They lose to San Francisco and fall to 2-4 for the first time since the championship run began, of course, in the 2001 season. 2000, the Patriots lost four in a row. They lost three straight, part of a four-game losing streak in 2002. And that's how far you have to go back now with this team losing a third in a row and falling to 2-4 while the Niners come in. They roll.
Years since we've been in that spot, this spot here in New England. Hi, Zo.
How you doing?
How you doing? Good.
Well, they did release the all dynasty team last week.
Oh, so they did.
They kind of signified the end.
They most certainly did.
Put a cap on that one.
I guess it's over. It's all over. How you feeling today? You weren't feeling so great after the
terrible
game yesterday.
Terrible.
I saw you on TV.
Angry. Terrible.
I saw you
disappointed.
Fifth quarter.
I care.
You're pissed.
Should
not
be
happy.
Justifiably so.
You called for the benching of Cam Newton. Said this is it. You've seen enough.
I've seen enough.
Have you seen enough?
Problem is, you get Buffalo this week, and do you want to throw the kid to the wolves there?
Nope.
And really start to test him here.
I don't.
I think Cam's got one more week, and then that's it. That's it. You look at 2-5, and then you got to find out if Jared can play with not being thrown in at 33-6. I know we're going to get the calls today that he had five reps, three picks off five last five throws. I get all that. It's junk time. It's garbage time. You wave the white flag at that point. And when the coach said it, it's just trying to get him some experience, get him out there,
yeah,
his feet wet.
Right.
Give him an entire week of practice with the ones. Let's see what he can do from the opening snap.
This is not an overreaction when I say this, because we said
before
the game was played Sunday.
Two and a half weeks we've seen
About the team's season, and that is if they lose this week at Buffalo, the year is pretty much over, which means they have to win the game. They really don't have much of a choice. And if they win, though, Zoe, I still think things are salvageable.
I think they're playing for their season. So, yes. Unbelievably so, yes.
I think they're playing for their season, and I think Cam Newton's playing for his job this week.
And I think, okay, so you agree then, too, that it's if you lose this week, he's you got to sit him.
Well, if you lose this week.
And he doesn't show any.
And by the way, he has looked terrible. I mean, there's no way around
it.
I mean, I don't even know what else there is to say other than to say he yesterday, forget taking so long to make reads and go through the progressions. So when he threw the football, the way it came out of his hand was ugly.
The interception of Warner, I didn't have a description for it.
He didn't either after the game, by the way. They asked him specifically about that interception. Jacoby Myers was the targeted guy there.
I've been there where you kind of got it right here and you think you see something, but you don't, but then you end up airmailing it like out of bounds. That tweener, I've never seen it where
the guy's on simple routes, he couldn't even come close to hitting them with the football. It was
like that's
the worst he's thrown the ball all year.
That's not a vision thing. That's like, oh, they dropped a guy out. You know, you get that zone blitz sometimes, and, you know, I'm looking at holes, and I see that end defender drops out at the last second at Teddy Bruschi play, and you throw it right to him. That's not even that. He was running with him. Like, Warner was running with him.
Like, is your arm broken? Is your shoulder okay? What the hell is happening? What's wrong with you? He couldn't throw the ball. Never mind the vision thing.
It's almost like,
again, or the reads, which he looks, sees you, looks somewhere else, looks back, and then throws it to you.
But even, see, and even the completions are stare down. I'm making sure it's there. It's open. Okay, Bird's coming back, or Jacoby's that wide open. I'm going to gun it, and then he rips it. So then all concerns about the arm are off the table. There's no arm issue. There's no injury issue.
No, but I think there's both. I think there's mental issues.
There's no,
I think there's clock
there's
issues.
There's no physical. It's here. It's all here for him.
So the way that ball came out all day yesterday, I really tend to think there's something wrong there. And on the deep ball, for him to throw that deep ball the way he did down the field on one of the picks to Myers.
Oh, it's double coverage.
He was looking for again.
Jacoby Myers in double coverage.
In double coverage. He thought he was going to outthrow everybody. Man, did he have to wind up to uncork that one. And he had no control over where that ball was going. He got it down the field. But it was like he was throwing a javelin.
It was,
like,
you know,
or a shot put. Like, I'm going to put everything I've got into throwing this thing just to throw it far. I have no idea where it's going, but we're going to throw it far.
It was almost at the end with Brady, when Brady would get so pissed off about the situation and the stupid two-man combo route and what you've given me to throw to. I'm just going to throw this sucker up into double coverage. Remember, Brady's had a couple of those, too, at the end here. Where he just, F it, I'm just throwing it up. And it felt like that. Then he stood there and stared at it. Didn't attempt to move to cover. You cover. We're talking about Cam. We're opening up a Cam right now.
Yeah.
Defense was worse.
Oh, Cam yeah.
Was.
No, they've
Your defense was worse.
Plenty to get to there, too.
Do not let this defense off the hook. Defense was worse than Cam Newton.
But people are more interested in Cam.
Of course.
Okay, Cam's...
It's a quarterback league, buddy. Watch Cam, games last
Cam's
night.
Cam's the quarterback. Cam's the
Watch
star.
That game last night up and down the field. That's quarterback league. That's receiver league.
Ooh. So after this week in Buffalo, if they lose, so I think it's over. They don't really have a very good chance of being a playoff team. And at that point, I would say... Oh, what are we doing here?
Oh God, you'd have
what
to
are we
run
gonna, what are
you'd
we going to get out off, of this season?
You'd have to run off three straight and sort of the meat of your schedule to even get to 500.
This last month for Cam Newton has made it appear that he is not a solution at quarterback, that he is not going to be here beyond this year, that he's playing on short money for a reason, that he's either mentally breaking down or physically breaking down or both. And well, if you're going to be a bad team with a bad record, well, you better find something out about somebody else here, and that, of course, would be Jarrett Stidham, who, by the way, as you mentioned, he wasn't great either.
No,
he was bad, too.
Terrible.
Bad spot. Not ideal.
Awful spot. Been there. Done it.
But you get to a point where you say, all right, listen, as you said, F it. Let's put the kid in there. Let's get him a full week of practice. Yep. Let's have him be with the ones. Let's have him act as the starting quarterback.
Let him feel like it's his.
And let's see if we've got anything there. Yeah, and if Cam Newton wants to hang around and still be here, he's more than welcome. If he doesn't want to be here... You could let him walk say bye.
I started watching about mid-second quarter, and you just see him over there, and he starts that stretching. You could tell it's internal nervousness because you understand the situation. You see the way this thing was building. So you're like, oh, Jesus, they're going to come to me at some point. So he grabs a ball, or he tries to get loose, throwing it to Olszewski, and then warms up Cam, and then a couple more waist turns, shoulder wind up. And you're just trying to stay ready just in case they say, F it, we're going with you. Then you see Bill go over and
I've got no idea what to expect this week now. None. There was zero response.
For both teams.
They're not the same type of team they once were.
What a flat day. Hardy, you there? Flat day again at Gillette.
Well, you start talking about like what happens if they lose to the Bills.
Right.
What happens if they beat the Bills? They would have to look so much better than they did in their win over Miami. I'd say the one good game they played this year was the Raiders game. That's it.
Really?
What?
Seattle, I would say.
No, he said wins.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Out of their wins.
And they played.
The game was awful.
And they played fine against Seattle, but in that game, and I've been operating under this, kind of romanticized version of how Cam played in that game.
Yeah.
And went back and looked at it
they
again.
They won in spite of Cam, the Raiders game. Yeah.
No. Even in the Seattle game, where Perillo and I were talking about it yesterday, he's like, look, they showed some offense late in that game. It was not a sustained Cam Newton looks good in this game type of game against Seattle. I'm just wondering, how good of a win does it have to be next week over the Bills for you to think that they still have some kind of a chance at something this year?
At this point, any win is going to look a lot better than what they just had for three straight.
No, I know what you're saying, though.
Right? I get what you mean.
Because, all right, they're not out of it in the division. And I don't mean to put it past, because the Bills look a lot better. But if Miami, if you played Miami right now, do you think Miami would fall for that same crap that you pulled in that first week?
Yes.
Where Cam's going to be running the ball and stuff? I don't think so.
No.
I don't think you could beat Miami again doing that again. If you win the division,
they switch quarterbacks,
which is a thing. Winning the division is a thing, even in this division, because the Bills are better. I think the Dolphins are a little bit better. So what?
But if you win this weekend in Buffalo, you've got one game separating you and the loss column from Buffalo.
Yes. So it means that you're not out of in the division.
You're not.
I'm just talking about, like, really, what do you think this team looks like right now?
Well,
they look like a football team that has no business, just from a looking at football games, no business thinking about postseason. There is nothing that football team has done now for the last 2 weeks that makes you think they have any business thinking about the postseason, and maybe we're in this after all.
Okay, well, I don't want them to tank, and I still want them to try and be as competitive as they can be.
They're not
going to
tank. They can't. You know what?
Well, I'm just saying, don't quit on it yet.
Well, they're not going to quit. They're going to play the games. But if you're thinking about what you do now, you start thinking, we are this close to thinking about the future and thinking about next year right now. We are this close. We are a hair away. And if somebody wanted to be thinking about next year right now, it'd be tough for me to say, oh, you're checking out too early.
Okay, but let me give you a scenario where they beat Buffalo next week and then they have the putrid Jets. If they win their next two, which is certainly a possibility, and they're 4-4, you feel a lot different about the year.
I don't think they could even look. You say they got the putrid Jets. Jets looked like they were going to beat the Bills yesterday for a good portion of that game.
In the second half.
So what? You got two bad football teams playing each other. What makes you think they're automatically going to beat the Jets? They were automatically supposed to beat the Broncos last week. And then to my confusion, all week long, everyone said, oh, they'll beat the 49ers. Of course they're favored over the 49ers. Oh, they're all banged up. So, did you see the Broncos game? And now I've seen it 2 weeks in a row. So, Beetle, I don't take anything for granted at this point. Buffalo is still Buffalo. No, they're really not. Oh, but they have the Jets the next week. So, I don't know that they can beat the Jets right now.
Well, you're a glass half empty type of guy, and I'm a lot more positive about things, and I'm looking for those numbers here are real.
Here's what you did.
These numbers here are real.
You must have done the pregame yesterday, and then just gone to your palatial new compound and just smoked opium for the rest of the night.
I may have
not watched that game.
I may have done
because
that.
Give me some. I don't understand anybody who is reasonably optimistic today.
I'm not optimistic. I don't feel great, but
Panama red.
I'm not going to end the season today like a lot of people are. A lot of people are writing off the year today.
The season will continue. They will play football games. They've got uniforms and everything.
A lot of people are writing off
good
the
ones,
year
not good
and
ones.
Saying they're done and they're not worth the time and that they should just keep losing and get better draft position. That is happening today. I'm not joining in on that yet.
It'd be great if they put their old uniforms on.
It's October 26th. I'm not joining in on your fun yet.
Okay.
That's all.
Okay.
Can Bill Belichick fix this? This is a real question about Bill Belichick.
What a challenge,
and, maybe the biggest challenge he's faced so far in his Patriots coaching career.
Seriously.
We'll talk about that and what Tony Dungy had to say about it last night.
He knows everything, yeah.
Well, he has a lot of takes. He had a take last night on the Patriots and Bill Belichick. You'll hear that, and we'll discuss it coming back next.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island. Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
Now,
if you want to get weird sometimes, yeah.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Back then, you knew not to touch it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We got better last week. We needed to get back on the practice field. We definitely got better. We improved in some areas. Didn't show up on the score. We still have, a lot of work to do, but some of the things that we worked on were better. But we're still a long way from where we need to be. That's obvious.
Patriots head coach Bill Belichick.
How many people are on that?
He's still alive.
How many people are on that?
He's not dead.
How many people are on that Zoom call?
Belichick or the team?
Oh, okay. All right.
Stop it, Jim.
How many people?
Just going with the emotion of the show from Zoe. That's all.
Why?
Where was the follow-up? What area did you improve in?
I don't know what was going on with the questioning yesterday on the Bill post game. The line of questioning was not good. They were. I don't know if it was people jumping on late and hadn't heard what he had just said.
Boop, boop.
And he was easily annoyed, obviously. Bad loss.
Bill, how do you feel about the team's effort level today?
I thought we competed hard. We just didn't. Didn't do things well enough.
That's not good.
Lots of long pauses.
That's not good. If he likes what he's getting effort wise, and then he puts it in black and white that they improved from last week in Denver.
As he just said, we got better this week.
I thought they got tremendously worse.
It got better, according to
him.
I
mean, the display.
Well, they practice.
Well, I mean,
you know, this is a tough spot you put yourself in when you cry about no practice as much as they did after losing to Denver. Turns out you can have all the practice in the world and you still suck this week. So, great. Awesome. So, don't you have to see, aren't you in that position where you have to say that we got better and we're able to work harder? What are you going to say? Oh, we did all that practice and we got worse?
We would
How do you
here,
say that?
We would sit here on Sounds of Sunday with other coaches that would say that. We would sit here and laugh our asses off. If you get smacked twice.
I know.
You get smacked worse the second week after a week you thought you got better.
Tony Dungy last night on Football Night in America, the Sunday night coverage before the Seattle game against Arizona. Good finish there.
Yeah.
Exciting.
What a game.
Here's Dungy on Bill Belichick and where this team goes from here.
Mike, Bill Belichick is the best fixer of problems I've ever seen, but I'm not sure this is salvageable. It just looks like it's getting worse. There's no continuity on offense or defense.
Not salvageable in Tony Dungy's mind that the Patriots are in a place where they're not coming back from this.
Talent. He's looking at his talent. He shuffles many people around. I mean, you get safeties down playing linebacker. That's part of the biggest problem here. It's part of the biggest problem. And you're gambling how to build your defense, right? And you could talk about opt-outs and this and that, but, Jesus, you're a nickel and dime pretty much the entire game.
Front seven is real thin.
So, I mean, you could play against the best team in Kansas City and have something dialed up, but you can't play against the inferior teams. It's like odd. It's like a reverse vortex or something that you're stuck in where your defense is built to combat Kansas City or a high-flying team like Seattle or – you know, Atlanta, you name it. But yet, against teams that could line up and smack us in the mouth, we're going to get blocked all over the damn field.
So when you say nickel and dime almost all the time.
Nickel. They're nickel. They're, right? their base is nickel. Their base defense is nickel.
Right.
Is that six DBs.
But I don't feel like that's necessarily game plan. This is the talent we have. These are the guys we have. We got to play this way.
Yeah.
That's what's driving you.
Went and got Phillips. You went and got Duggar and brought them down in the box because you like how this is moving. Or else you would go out and you would get another backer or another drop guy off the edge. Yeah. You elected to go this direction. It's not like, hey, gun to the head, we're stuck with these guys. And we have to adapt.
Who are the guys up front on this team you really like? Lawrence Guy,
Winovich. Winovich played 13 snaps again, pal.
Yeah,
13. He went 20 last week. 13.
I believe one snap in the second half.
Was that right?
Is that the right count?
Yeah.
Do I have that right? He wasn't out there.
I don't know. Reese thinks he messed up on a play where there was only 10 players in the field, and he was the one that was not out there.
Well, he also got put on the bench after he got into it with Bill Belichick over the penalty on the pick, which was hitting the quarterback.
Which was stupid.
Which was moronic, and we'll tell him that when he calls us this week.
He'll tell us that.
We'll tell him he was wrong. No problem with that.
We'll talk to him Friday. Thursday. People love the interview.
Can we just say he's not a run player? He's not a. They don't think he can play the run because he's not out there against the run the last 2 weeks.
Or else they 2 weeks ago they kicked him inside, which he's not. He's not an inside down hand down on the ground run defender. He's an edge guy.
It feels like they just determined. You know what? If the other team's in a run situation, we can't put him out.
Where the hell's Josh Uche?
practice last week. He's off IR now, so he could be back out there soon. Could be next week.
I don't think he was off officially, like, reinstated to the roster, though.
Right, but they started the practice clock on him.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's back participating in football.
Good.
So it could be soon.
The fact that a practice squad guy in Bowers get called up and played most of the game is a bad sign.
They are as deficient with talent in their front seven on defense as they are in their offense at the skill positions.
Bo Allen practiced last week, right?
Yeah. Like, they don't have receivers. They don't really have tight ends. They also don't really have linebackers.
I want a
gap on the team.
I want number 16 to play ahead of number 15.
You want Jacoby Myers to play?
I want a guy that's going to compete and bust his ass like Myers did yesterday. He ain't perfect. I get it. And I know you don't like him.
I like him more than N'Keal Harry.
He's a football player.
I like him more than N'Keal Harry. How do you not?
And when you're getting
there's no redeeming quality to N'Keal Harry.
When you're getting your balls
kicked in. Jacoby Myers, I don't think he's very good. I think he, as I've said,
I agree.
Jag player. You could find that guy on any roster in the league as your fourth receiver. People treated him like he was going to turn into a 1 year with Tom Brady, and I just found it laughable.
Well, not many.
But I'd prefer him on the field right now over N'Keal Harry.
When you're getting your balls kicked in, you want football players and people you want to go to war with. And he's one of those. Like, he'll find a way to fight. He ain't perfect. It ain't pretty. But you put the ball around him, he's going to catch it, or at least try to.
He's the guy you want to go to war with.
Right. I mean, last year people making comparisons to Malcolm Mitchell. Like, oh, he's the next Malcolm Mitchell.
No, he's not. Outside guy. No.
Nope, he's not. He's not Malcolm Mitchell. No, he isn't.
He's an interior possession type guy that could find spots.
The Patriots had found something in him. He's not that, but he's better than N'Keal Harry. N'Keal Harry's a bust, man. That thing's over. You can keep him on the roster all you want. He ain't turning into anything.
He started to be on Planet Zippy there, and then he's on a choo-choo.
Well, his quarterback didn't help him so much on that pass either.
Well,
he was short of the marker.
He was 4 yards short of the marker. Wasn't even close.
At least give the guy credit for catching the football in traffic like that, knowing he was going to get lit up.
All right, get that going for you.
I mean, I'll give the guy credit. A lot of guys don't try and make that catch because they know they're about to get crushed. He caught it and got crushed. Hospital ball. Thank you very much. You know? I'll give him that. I'll give him that toughness on that one, but that sucks. I don't want to see a guy get a concussion.
No, nobody roots for that. Hell no.
Brutal.
But I want to see more of Myers. At least he moves around and attempts to catch the football. Yeah, I say attempts.
You think he's going to fix things?
No, he's not going to fix things.
They need a tight end.
But I tell you what, if I'm a quarterback,
will somebody emerge as a freaking tight end?
Stidham gets
team?
In there, quick step, boom, sticks it right on Myers. At least that looked like an offensive rhythm type play. Like, okay, 1, 2, 3, 5, boom, I'm going to stick it on Myers in the middle, and we're going to run. Let's go. Like, it was his first completion, okay?
It looked good. That was probably the best play of the day offensively.
Take a picture of that, yeah.
It really was. Isn't that sad? That was the best play of the day. A completion, Stidham to Myers.
Oh, they got better from last week.
You're mocking Bill Belichick.
That doesn't happen very often,
but that is... That just happened.
That was the worst football game I've called or been around here in a long time. Like, I said at the Bob during a timeout, I'm like, what's worse? And I'm thinking, okay.
It's the worst game you've seen since the week before against Denver.
I think this is why I'm so angry today.
This is where we're at, which is why I think it's
two in a row.
It's puzzling to me why people are talking about, well, you just win the next two, and then what are you watching?
Like, you get thumped out in Denver, but, like, Denver's not your spot. That team was loaded. You know, you had two tackles on the side that didn't know what the hell they were doing. The noise you couldn't hear. They were jumping the snap count. Denver had all their health on defense. That was a damn good defense. Kansas City on the road Monday night. You got steamrolled, but at least you got in there and moved the ball at the end of the game with Jimmy and them. But, like, you didn't feel like you got... Your teeth. Yesterday, you felt
I'll tell
like
you what it is.
We got our teeth kicked in.
I'm rooting for it to be an 8 or 9 win season.
You got safeties that got run over 20 yards.
I'm rooting for that, and I want to see that sort of come to fruition. You know, I don't like it when a team falls apart by the time they get to the midseason mark.
No,
that's not good for your team, and not good for the program, and not good for
morale.
Bill Belichick or morale or anything else going forward.
Yep.
Right. I mean. I want them to try and remain as competitive as possible.
It's bad enough you're trying to practice and function and doing all this too during a pandemic when you're in and out too, and just to have it unravel the way it has these last 2 weeks, it's not good.
It's just a difficult exercise for me to sit there and pick 7 wins out of the next 10 games when I won't even grant you the Jets 2 weeks from now.
Yeah, there's a 4 week stretch after that. It's going to be a bitch for them.
So you can root for a 9-win season all you want. That means they got to win 70% of their games going forward, and they didn't beat the one team that everyone just said they were going to beat. And again, everyone said they were going to beat the 49ers yesterday. Oh, they're so banged up. They have nobody healthy. They're going to go out there and Garoppolo, he's not really a quarterback. He just throws these little screens and it's all, you know, you knew all this. You had all this going for you. You were at home. They're the ones who had to fly across the country and put together a game day roster with spit and duct tape.
It looked fast.
And they absolutely annihilated this team yesterday. 33-6.
For the first time in 4 years, the Patriots gave up a touchdown on the opening drive at home. Oh. I think that'll be a part of X's and Zo's. That is coming up right after this.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island, Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
Something.
You gotta wear your lucky jersey, don't wash the lucky socks,
rub your ball 16 times. Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
So, my thought was, there was a year when I was a senior in high school, we switched from like a man-to-man I form.
Say we're running that RPO to the right. Have you ever been the guard on the left and they pull it down the line and you kind of ear hole that guy sitting there? Did you guys have a lot of fan calls? Like when you're out there, did they go Rip and Liz?
Yeah, we use Rip and Liz.
Okay. Little Roger, little Louie.
Don't remember Roger and Louie. I remember Rip and Liz, though. I think that was a call more the receivers listened to, though. They had it pretty simple.
Not really?
For the big guys, yeah.
Yeah.
Time now for X's and Zo's. After another Patriots loss yesterday.
Oh.
Give me a breakdown.
Oh, it's an easy one. This is an easy one today.
What's a big factor here?
External runs outside, turning a corner. Whether it was Ayuk, whether it was Deebo Samuel that they motioned into the backfield. But more importantly, they just did it with their fourth team tailback. You got your ass U-checked yesterday. And the concept is close off the wall. Next guy threw off the pull, chop the next guy down, turn the corner, and run your ass off and run people over. You got physically taken to the woodshed yesterday, which is the most depressing thing, because we sat here last year and complimented John Simon for what a smart football player he is. Well, Kyle Shanahan looked at him on film and said, we're going to get him in space. We're going to go slot to one side, and what we're going to do is motion Samuel or Ayuk out to the side he's at, and we're just going to flip the ball to him, and he's going to chase him like a dog chasing cars. Because there's no chance in hell he or Juwan Bentley are going to get anywhere near it. So the big thing is it's either Kittle. Boy, do I got a lot of respect for Kittle after watching him play yesterday. You see what everybody sees in him.
Oh, you now, respect the best tight end in football?
Wait a minute. Well, because I've seen Kelce, and you know,
I know.
I'm not complimentary of the blocking of Kelce. Kittle walls off the edge, squares it in. The guard comes out, cuts the hell down out of Gilmore. They turn the corner, and then Kittle is the first guy downfield, chest bumping and high-fiving a guy for a good play. Like, he's so involved in every play.
We're watching a play here in studio where Kittle takes out both McCourty.
It's unbelievable.
And
they call it the like,
who was
the
first guy he hit on the play? Oh, it was Adrian Phillips, I believe.
Oh, my God. And that's Phillips is a great tackler.
He takes out Phillips first and McCourty.
Two of your best tacklers.
On an outside run.
Two of your best tacklers on defense.
Takes them both out of the play.
It's unbelievable. And the motion, we're screaming it in the booth. Here it comes this way. Look at this. Kittle hooks him. Look at the block by Ayuk downfield. I mean, right there, just walling it off. So that tells me it's a phenomenally coached team. So you could sit there and laugh at him for collapses at the end of football games, meaning Shanahan.
Ayuk.
He had a scheme for
Ayuk
your ass.
Ayuk is on fire.
Yeah. We don't need no water. You know, let the mother bleeper burn. Like, here comes motion again. You're watching Ayuk comes in motion. This is simple stuff here, too. Patriots in the base front. Flip around. You check. Boom!
They destroyed Jonathan Jones on that play.
Pancake City! We've seen it for years where James Devlin would do this to other teams.
Yeah.
your ass is getting James Devlin down. And that hurts.
The thing that's interesting about this, though, Zoe, is like
lack
this
of
is
run
not,
support from this, corners yesterday.
This is
too.
Not a secret about the 49ers. In fact, I know you didn't hear this, but if you were at home watching on television, you heard Tony Romo say Kyle Shanahan likes to get outside runs going early to open things up for his offense. It's a big part of his game plan most weeks. Get the ball on the outside. Run outside. Outside runs.
And it's timed.
If Tony Romo in the first quarter is telling you this, people know this. The Patriots weren't surprised by this. They just got beat. The execution by the 49ers was really good.
His dad was the same way, but it was more of a zone blocking scheme, and it didn't matter what back was ever in there for Denver.
Juszczyk taking out Gilmore. He's all over the place.
The guy's all, I mean, the kid's a stud. And from a pressing standpoint, he gets up and makes sure Gilmore's okay. Pats Gilmore on the ass, like, I just got you. You okay? Okay, I'm going back to the huddle. I'm going to line up. I'm going to try and do it again. So the timing aspect of this, it's not an easy thing to do, because if you get the edge blown up and somebody gets upfield, like you look at some of the good Patriot defenses of the past where it was Van Noy getting upfield to blow up something and it disrupts timing of the running game in the backfield. This is all almost predicated like a passing attack. Little extensions of the running game, little flips to receivers, and all they're doing is Katie barring the door. It's like a swinging gate. It's the old swinging gate from back in the day. Where you pin the edge, next guy out, timing, cut the next guy down, and then a receiver block downfield, and we're going to cut that thing around the end. And that's what they did all day to you. And you couldn't stop it.
Oh, man.
John Simon had a bad, one of his worst games.
Watching another play in the third quarter, late third, John Simon's just all over the place.
Didn't know what to do. Stuck in space.
Could not find the right space.
You know, the worst thing to do is be stuck in space. I got Ninkovich texting me during a game. He goes, this is a bad one for him. Like, he's lost right now. And then it's like, okay, you take him out. Who are you putting in? What adjustment are you making up front? You going to go bigger?
You don't have anybody else.
You don't even have a bigger body.
No.
And that's the sad part of this is personnel-wise, you're limited in what you can do. And now you get 2 weeks of this on tape where people could, you know, Denver did it last week to you. San Francisco just took it to you to the next level. Buffalo's got some talent. Buffalo's got some talent on offense. Plus, they got a quarterback that can run. You know, big dummy up there. He's going to tuck it a couple times and take off. Now you got to worry about getting him down. So this is a simple one, X's and O's from yesterday, that you aren't ready for. And they show you where they're going. They go slot to one side, and they do that big motion right to it. So it's all flow, taking you right to where we're going. Everybody's going there, and you still got blocked.
What puzzled me was that sometimes on when they would go in motion, they would, you know, everything appears it's going to the left. Okay. Mm-hmm. And a couple of times it was a screen pass out there. I understand Garoppolo completing that pass. You know, it's either at the line or even behind the line. Why is there 10 yards of open space in front of the receiver?
Because they got him in zone.
Why is it?
I was yelling the entire game.
I heard you. It's like they're going zone.
Why are you in zone?
Why in zone?
And it's so easy for Jimmy because the second that motion goes, if you see whoever it is, Jonathan Jones or Gilmore, it's up locked on that receiver and they go flying across with them. Now all of a sudden I got to expedite my process because I know it's man right now. But the second you see that guy in motion and Gilmore backs off, guess what happens on the other side? They back off even more. So you got two blockers going downfield to pin them, and all I got to do is take it, flip it right out to the flat. Let's roll.
And who was always the guy in motion? It was almost always Kittle. And you're like, oh, no. When nobody went with Kittle, you're like, oh, no. They're playing zone, and Kittle's going in motion.
Like zone. It's zone. It's zone, and Kittle will go in motion, and all he would do is get past the end, turn, boom, hook him in. Night-night. Night time. You want Bubba? You want your Bubba, your blankie?
And then run like he's on fire until he finally was taken down. Every single time.
Here comes. Boink, 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 boink. Debo could have stayed in bounds and ran out for a touchdown. He ran out of bounds there. Ayuk had it pinned.
Ayuk. You keep
H
adding an H
silent,
to his
hand.
Where's an H in there?
No, there's no.
Don't pronounce it. There's no H. Starts with an A.
Oh.
No.
I thought Ayuk is on fire.
Don't pronounce that H that you believe is there.
Oh, okay.
All right, there's another thing to get to X's and O's wise. Maybe the mechanics of Cam Newton. And one of our friends of the show and friends of the station noticing something on tape about the mechanics of Cam Newton. It was a tweet a short time ago. We'll tell you about it. All right?
All right.
Get your reaction to it, and we'll get to your calls as well. 617-779-0985. That's next.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada.
a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island, Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
The former QB, always laser-focused.
It's like going to bed at night, bringing a rattlesnake in your room. Let him sleep on a hot spot, on a hot rock.
And the guy who was always by his side.
The Lakers, UFOs, mayonnaise, all in the mix here.
Zolak and Bertrand.
If that makes any sense.
No.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
You're down 16-3 with 6:23 left in the second quarter. You won the opening coin toss, you deferred. You get the ball to start the second half. I'm going to say it. This is a big drive right here for Cam Newton. Based on how he has played, the last 2.5 games he has played in, I know he doesn't play it. He didn't play in Kansas City. He's 2-for-4 for 9 yards and a pick. One of the worst picks I've ever seen. Your team could potentially be staring at 2-4. It's a big drive for him. Or I might go to Stidham.
From the 38, shotgun snap to Newton. 4-man rush. Throw out to the left, incomplete.
I'm ready.
Stinted in the direction of Demir Brent on the far side. You had Burkhead in the middle of the field as well for the Patriots. And New England is forced to punt it back to San Francisco.
Get Stidham ready. Get him throwing. You got to do something, Bill. He ain't got it. He ain't got it today. He's not seeing it right. He's throwing balls in the ground. He's got time to throw. You got to make the switch.
Scott Zolak on the broadcast yesterday right here on the Patriots Radio Network. Jeff Howe of The Athletic had this tweet this morning, short time ago, about Cam Newton. Cam Newton definitely missed some reads again yesterday, but I'm noticing another issue. His left foot tends to get away from him, and the mechanical breakdown has resulted in some of his worst throws. When the footwork is intact, throws have been precise. What do you think of the mechanics of Cam Newton yesterday?
Obviously, they're not good. Or else you wouldn't be having the issues you're having. Now, as athletic as he is, he's able to make most of those throws regardless of the feet. Even look at Josh Allen this year, where he's got both feet pointing forward, and he's throwing dimes 15 yards down the right sideline because he's got a cannon. And maybe the arm strength isn't there, it is. But, like, you'll see him rip off a couple tough ones yesterday, that deep out. Again, left side. Why is it all left side?
Yeah, is his foot mechanics making his eyes not work to the right side?
So I would say that the mechanics are like item B. Item A is that he's not seeing things. And he's not processing things.
But subconsciously, when you're in the pocket and you're throwing left, your mind makes you open that front toe. There's no way in hell you could take that left foot, point right, and try to throw back to the left. You'll throw it right in the freaking dirt. Subconsciously, you have to open that toe to go that way just to be able to get the torque on your waist, your ball, everything from the top to your release point. Yeah, well, we hear this about guys like Jordan Palmer, Tom House. What did Tom Brady do every year about midseason? Bring his guy in to do what? Give him an oil change. Let's take a look at the mechanics. Let's look at things. Do you notice anything in my delivery, in my footwork? Like, they would always have that one guy in practice filming from the snap what the quarterback's doing. The quarterbacks always go back and watch it. And that would mentally, I think, help you footwork-wise. Maybe he doesn't do that. I don't know. Does he have a throwing coach? We don't hear about that with him. Maybe you should call Tom House instead of this Taylor. I don't know. But if the footwork continually is a problem, then that is also on Jed Fish, too, because you're the quarterback coach, and Josh McDaniels is the coordinator. See, the problem is, when Kim makes great throws like those crossers to Jacoby Myers, and he spun it, that ain't shoulder. That's not strength. There's no issue there. That tells me everything's up here in the head. I think he's having a tough time seeing things. And that's why I said what I said yesterday. You just see it in his face.
A lot of people have pointed out
body
this morning.
There's no energy.
Mike Reese, as well as our very own Bob Soucy, have tweeted out screen grabs of the Patriots' fourth offensive play of the game, first quarter, about 8.5 minutes to go in the quarter. It's the fourth play. Newton has N'Keal Harry wide open, with a lot of space over the middle of the field, about 15 yards, well, I'd say about 10 yards from the line of scrimmage and about 15 yards from where Cam is in the pocket, and he doesn't see him. He never sees him, and he turns it into a four-yard scramble instead of actually making a play.
That means he's indecisive. He's uncertain.
So that it was right out of the gate, and Nikhil Harry is very much open over the middle of the field.
But see, and we're starting to get a lot of these week to week where we sit here and crush the receivers on game day, but then you actually go back and you get to peek at it again, and that's the luxury of being a armchair quarterback upstairs. You get to look it over, look over, look over, and you're not the one making a quick decision where you got to make a decision in the second and a half down there, which is tough for the quarterback to do.
Like,
it's not an easy position
to play. The pick that he threw to Edelman. Edelman's there. He's got a little bit of space.
We got to play the play.
Waits on it and then fires it at him, and it's behind him. Like, he just waited too long, and it's happened on far too many plays.
See, that whole buildup, too, and I remember the Edelman pick. It was trips. They went trips to the right side. And for whatever reason, Cam's not throwing a lot of balls to the right. And I think this can be built in because guess who the right receiver is most of the time? Pretty much all the time. It's Nikhil Harry. Nikhil Harry is your split end, your flanker. He's split to the right. Your split end is to the left, and that's Damir Bird. And
so
Edelman is your slot.
Is Newton shutting out Brady like Tom Brady would? Is Newton shutting out Harry the way Tom Brady would shut out
the receiver? I think Newton isn't releasing the ball until he sees the guy open. And that's a big problem. Like, even the Damir Bird one, he came out of the cut. He's still waiting for the ball. When Damir Bird pushes up on that deep out to the left and he gets that defender to turn his hips, the second he starts to make that cut, ball should be already in the air. He comes out of the break looking one step, two step, then the ball's there. That ball should have been bang on him right there when he comes out of the break. Like, even the pick to Edelman side, I'm telling Bob, Edelman's uncovered here. They got confused, did San Francisco. They walked a guy out between Edelman and Dalton Keene, I think, was outside Edelman, and the next receiver was out pinned on the sideline.
No, they didn't get confused. They knew he wasn't throwing it to the right. I'm convinced they weren't confused. They just used Cam's tendencies against him. Oh, you're going to run trips, right? We don't have to send three defenders with him. We'll send two. See what he does.
It was bad. I mean, even the pick down the middle, it's double coverage with one of your slowest receivers running the post. And I'll take that receiver over the other guy because he competes at least.
We know you will.
Yeah.
As will everybody at this point.
The film don't lie, dude.
Everybody.
The film doesn't lie, okay? Nothing's changing there, okay? McFly, nothing's changing there. Hey, how many games you got to watch this? How many times you got to watch it?
Do you think that Bill waited too long to bench Cam in the game?
I think Stidham should have started second half. Because they got the ball and ran it down to 2 minutes, and then I started saying, don't put him in with a 2 minute. Give him the half to talk about it. Get in mind what you're going to call, what he likes. Sit him down. We're going to throw this out of the game plan. That you get 12 minutes to get him mentally ready to go.
I thought that he kept Cam in there as a way to give him every opportunity to not lose his job. The fact that he stayed in so long as the game was playing out late in the game.
He likes Cam. I mean, he likes Cam. And sometimes when you love something, you've got to sit it down when it's not going well just to make sure that thing gets right.
Well, my thought was
Let him hurt himself.
That he waited so long because he was about to bench him going forward next week. And then after the game, he killed that quickly.
Yeah.
And said, absolutely, he's our starting quarterback next week. I'm like, he's in there still so that he can make the case that you're not going to start next week. That's what I thought.
Head coach is in your corner as of now.
Let me give you another theory.
My theory. Are we talking about my theory?
Yes.
That got blown out after the game with the post-game comments too, though.
So Jim and I were texting about this during the game, and I said, this is what I told him. I think he's leaving him in there because he's going to bench him, like, for next week. But let's give the theory anyway, Jim.
Oh, you mean lying to your own bed you make?
The theory is...
Well, so Cam needed 88 yards passing to become the only player in NFL history with 30,000 yards passing and 5,000 yards rushing.
How many passing yards did he have?
Belichick would probably appreciate, knowing the historian that he is.
Okay, how many yards did he have before he got pulled?
So right before the Edelman interception, that was the one he got pulled on, he got over 88 yards. It took him that long in the game to get over 88 yards.
But he did it.
But if you're going to bench the guy for the rest of the season, that's something to do. That's like Vinny Testaverde going in for that one touchdown.
Okay.
And you're like, but then if he says he's starting this week, And if he does start this week, that goes out the window
too. But Jim, both of our theories got blown up postgame, which means now the fact
Unless that doesn't happen Sunday.
Right, unless he changes his mind. But as of right now, with the information we have, and Bill did not sound at all uncertain about Cam Newton being the starting quarterback.
No, there's no hesitation.
No hesitancy. He said absolutely. So I'd be very surprised if he's not starting at Buffalo. He did. He waited too damn long to get Stidham into the game. What were you waiting for? What more did you need to see from Cam yesterday to realize he just didn't have it and needed the break? Put him on the bench.
And they did leave Edelman in the game until he got a catch. It was in 92 games in a row, whatever he's at now. Like, they kept that streak going.
Oh, good.
Yay.
I'm just saying, I wouldn't doubt them leaving somebody in the game just to get an accomplishment. That's all.
617-779-0985. Let's get a check of the headlines. 90 seconds. I promise we'll go to the calls next, and we will this hour talk about what happened in Tampa Bay over the weekend. That's on the way, too.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island, Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.